Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm so blessed to be here. You know, I've gone through just some major challenges this last week, and the one thing that I know is that God always promises that it can be well with our soul. And I'm just so thankful that you're here with us this morning. We've got a full group on the line with us this morning, and I know that many of you listen to the recorded calls, so I just pray right now in Jesus' name that a peace that goes beyond understanding just floods you, that you can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, that you can take this time right now just to release the cares of this world, and that you could just put your heart, your trust, your mind completely focused on God, because he loves us and he promises to never leave us or forsake us. And so I just pray in Jesus' name that you just are flooded with peace. And Heavenly Father, I just praise and I worship you because you are an awesome and an amazing God, that you love us no matter what, that you actually seek us out to follow you and to give our lives to you. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, I ask that you would speak to each heart. Lord, that each person would not leave this call the same, that you would take the scales off of our eyes, that you would unplug our ears, and that we would hear your word that's specifically for us. We love you, Father God, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit more about excellence today. This has just been a resounding theme that's been in my heart and in my life day after day. I was in Houston this weekend. I was doing a women's expo, and I spent some time with a friend and a client and met her amazing family. She just welcomed me with such open arms into her home, and it was such a precious time for me. And on the way home, I have to just praise God about something else. Let me just go here for a quick minute. We went for crepes in the morning, and I know some of you might think that that's kind of silly and a silly thing to praise God about, but I'm telling you, it was just such a wonderful experience, and we just had such delicious food. And one of the things that we had that day was a Nutella and strawberry crepe. Oh, my goodness, I thought I was in heaven, so I'm just going to praise God for that. But on the way home, I was driving, and we got routed. We were stuck in traffic almost the whole time. It took me, I don't know, 2.5 hours just to get out of the city. And then as I was getting closer to Katy, it was stop-and-go traffic. I was going like 11 miles an hour, and I thought, I'm never going to get home. Wanted to get home to shop for my boy's birthday presents, and I was seeing just everybody around me just get so angry and so upset, and I just thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to change this, so what can I do? So I started looking to see if there are ways I could get off and take an alternate route, or what would God have for me, and the Lord just gave me a great peace in my heart, and he said, there's no way around this. He said, this is something you're going to have to go through. And he says, you can choose to be frustrated like those around you, or you could choose to be a person of excellence. So I did, and so what I started doing is I would smile, or I'd wave, or I would do whatever I could to pass the time. I went and cleaned up my iTunes, and at one point we were actually just completely stopped for a while. And then they started routing us off the highway. And so we got off the highway, and it didn't seem like anybody was coming from the opposite direction either. And I tried to search to see if there was any news of what was going on. It took me 4 hours to get around the little tiny town of Katy by the time we had all the traffic. But the one thing that happened that kind of surprised me was how once we got off and we actually got onto one of the little two lanes, that there was no instruction, and everybody just kept following. But there were people that were frustrated and angry, and they would back up and turn around and slam around. And I just thought how sad it was, because I knew there was no other way to go except to follow the people of excellence. And I knew they were following what God had us all doing. I even saw people come out of their beautiful homes, and they were sitting along the side of the road just watching us. And I'm sure they were looking and thinking, now that's a person of excellence. Oh, that guy's really angry. I wonder when this is all going to stop. This is fascinating. This has probably never happened before. Now, unfortunately, there was an accident, and there was a semi-trailer that had hit the cement. It was really rainy, and it was a fairly bad accident, and it had closed down both sides of the highway for just miles and miles. But I wondered what would have happened if I wouldn't have handled that in a place of peace, in a place of excellence. What if I would have given in? Because I had every right, didn't I, that I could just, you know, get angry and just do what everybody else was doing. But I elected and I chose the path of excellence. And we were moving really slow and sometimes not at all, but we knew we were making progress. We knew we were headed in the right direction. And I want to encourage you to kind of think about that in your traffic jam of life when you don't understand all the circumstances and you're not really sure if there's been an accident or a derailment or what's going on up ahead, that you choose excellence and you choose God's path, because he promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. He promises that he'll take us through to the other side. And he also promises that he'll work in us and through us, even in unexpected places and ways. Now, a few weeks back, I talked to you a little bit about Deborah. She just fascinates me. She was a woman before her time, most definitely. And her story is found in Judges. And she was actually the only female judge to rule over Israel. And she did this in a time when women were not even considered a second-class citizen at that point. But she decided that she was going to plead for her country to be delivered. She did it for 20 years. They were oppressed by a wicked kingdom, and she believed that there was something bigger and better that God wanted for them, and that he didn't want them to be under this rule and to be tormented. He had good things for them. She was a woman, and the funny thing that happened is she used to, she had her own palm tree, just so you know. It was called the Palm of Deborah, and she would go and sit there, and people would come, and they would bring their issues to her. And this is actually found in Judges 4:4-9. It says, "And Deborah, a prophetess, a wife, was judging Israel at that time." Now, I want to point this out. A lot of people think, well, like, oh, she was just like this crazy single woman, and she was just, you know, at times just, you know, so radical and just trying to do things that were not done before. No, she was a wife. To me, that says she also had a great deal of responsibility. She probably was running some of the family's finances and some of their farms or their herds, and she also was so wise that she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So they would bring things that they would need settled, or wisdom or direction. So she was very wise. Verse 6 says, "Then she sent and called for Barak and said to him, 'Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops to Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand.'" Now, the strange thing that had not really been happening before this is God hadn't really been speaking directly, and he spoke directly to her, not through an angel. You know, she was confident, and she had to obey God's instructions specifically. So what God told her, he said to go and to call for Barak and to tell him these things. Do you know what Barak said back? He says, "And Barak said to her, 'If you'll go with me, then I'll go. But if you won't go with me, I'm not going to go.'" Ouch! Can you imagine God telling you, you know, "I want you to deliver this message, and this is who, you know, the commander of my army. I want you to tell him to go and do this because I'm going to give him a victory." And it's been 20 years. 20 years. And he says, "You know what, I'm not going to go if you don't go with me." Now, I'm not really sure why he didn't decide he wanted to go and just be obedient. I don't know. I don't know if he was scared, if he let fear get in his way, if he was uncertain about the rest of the details and he thought he better have her there just in case things started to go sour. I don't know if he didn't believe or didn't have faith. I'm not really sure. But because he said this, listen to what God had her speak back to him. And she said, "I'll surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you're taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And he did. He did that with Jael. So she did agree to go because she knew that's what God's plan was. But because he hesitated, because he pulled back, because he didn't trust and didn't obey, and he didn't move in an excellent way, even though he still obeyed, he resisted and he shrunk back, God took the complete victory of having the ruler, Sisera, be killed by another person, and just happened to do it again at this time, which would be very humiliating to have a woman do this instead. So I want to encourage you to be like a Deborah. Be willing to stand out when others don't expect it. Be willing to trust. Be willing to obey. Be willing to move out for God, regardless of what others might say, because this is his plan for you. Because honestly, only God's view of your potential really matters, right? It's your willingness to trust, to obey, to move in faith. It wasn't just to sit and talk about it. It was actually to move in faith. And then let God do the rest. Don't let other people limit you and what you're willing to do for God. Now, when I was building my business inside of my direct selling company, I had a leader at one point who kept trying to limit what God said my potential was. And you might not have this experience in your business, but to me, that was upsetting to me because I thought, you know, I thought we were a team. I thought we were building this together. I thought this was something we were working towards together. But that really wasn't it. There was jealousy. There might have been some fear. There was some hesitancy, and I allowed for a while what other people thought of me, what I thought was my lack of experience, and the circumstances around me limit what I was willing to do for God. And then there was one time when the Lord just showed me how he wanted to work in and through me, and I obeyed in such a tenacious way that God opened up what his plan was for me, and I was willing to walk through it, because the only difference, it wasn't that God, his view was limited for me, it was I was willing to walk it out in a bold, audacious way, because I finally realized that what God's plans for me and the potential that he held for me was limitless. So I want to encourage you that no matter how other people view you, God can and he wants to use you. He doesn't want you to let fear and doubt keep you from fulfilling his will and from speaking up. Well, there may not always be safety in standing up and speaking out for God. I've definitely felt a cold shoulder at times. I've felt loss and loss of relationships and in uncomfortable situations. There was nothing that could take away that feeling that I had of knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had my back, that God had a better plan for me, that God wanted greater things for me, and that he would provide the security for me. It's so important that we choose excellence, that we trust and we obey, and we don't shrink back from what God's asking us to do in this season. What if this is your season, that moment that you've been praying for something different, and then all of a sudden, it's right here before you, but you won't walk into it with excellence. You shrink back from what God's asking you to do in this season because you think it feels unconventional or you don't understand it all the way. I want to encourage you not to worry about that and not to worry about how others view you. God can, and he wants to use you in a new way like you've never experienced him before and you've never lived out before. I want to talk to you just real quick about another person before we close out today, and we'll continue our series on excellence and what God shows us through excellence. But I want to talk to you about Isaiah. You know, God has a reason for our encounters with him. And sometimes the encounters can happen on the highway when you're just stuck in traffic and there's nothing else to do but pray and think and praise and worship him. Sometimes we have an encounter through prayer or worship or at church or wherever out in nature. One of the things that I decided, I had a really rough weekend. As soon as I got back on the highway, I'm just going to share my heart with you. My husband called, and or actually I was calling my husband to tell him I was going to be 4 hours late, and I didn't know if we'd be able to do the shopping for the boy's birthday. And while he was talking, my son came into the room and said that my dog didn't look well, and could he come and check out my dog? Well, my dog was old, but she was so sweet, and she, I thought, would be just fine. But he said that when he went to pick her up, she was cold. And it was hot out. It was like in the almost 80, and that really concerned me. And I said, honey, make sure she's all right. And within about 10 minutes, she just died in his arms. We don't know why. And I was heartbroken, and I was crushed. I'm thankful that God had me in that place, praising and worshiping him, reflecting on how I could be more excellent. Now, did the tears flow? Yeah, and they still have me choked up a little bit today. I missed her, and I came home, and it was really sad. And then the next day, we had to decide, you know, what were we going to do with her, and her brother was crying. They'd always been together. We actually had birthed that litter here with her mom that had passed a year ago, and he was crying, and I just felt just so much sadness, and not that God doesn't have us and doesn't really care, but, you know, you miss things and people in different situations. And I realized how tied she was to me caring for my mom. And she was there for me when I went up to Tennessee. I took her with me. I couldn't take the rest of my family, but I took her with me. And she would walk with me on those challenging mornings and those days of taking care of my mom. And just would be there to comfort me. And I just realized that I needed to reach out closer to the Lord for more comfort. And as I was looking out the kitchen window, I saw that my flower beds had weeds. And so I thought, you know what, I wasn't really in much of a talking mood on Sunday. And that's usually our family day. And I didn't feel like playing games or anything. And so I thought, I'm going to go out and weed for just a few minutes. And as I was out there and I went to pull a weed, it was huge. I don't know how it sprang up so fast, except we had some rain. And then the Lord said, you know, sometimes we just have to weed out the things in our life. And I had another beautiful encounter with him and just poured my heart out to him. And he showed me areas where some weeds were starting to grow. And before they got big, like the weeds I was pulling, he wanted to make sure that my life was weeded. And I'm so thankful that he loves me so much that he would take the time to even say, you know what, I want you to serve with excellence. I want you to be a person of excellence. Know that I'm going to be the provider of your peace. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. But you know what, let me show you this weed and this weed. And all you've got to do is pull them out and lay them at my feet. But you know, we all have encounters with God, and Isaiah had one with God. And in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, it says, it was in the year of King Uzziah that he died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. So they're angels with 6 wings, right? They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." You know, I love what Isaiah's reaction was. Oh, doom, doom, doom. You know, he sees God instead of saying, "Oh, praise God, whatever I can do to serve you, Lord, I'm so willing." He says, it's all over. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man. I speak stuff that I shouldn't be talking about. I'm negative. I've got negative talk. I say things that go against what God would want me to say. And so does everybody around me. And the Lord sent an angel and said, "You know what, let me purify your lips then." And then he said, "Who will go?" And Isaiah said, "I would." I'm in awe of God's glory and excellence. And I think that that's really what Isaiah was experiencing. He also may have been feeling a fear of his inadequacy. When he asked, who shall God send? Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." So he did have an inspiration to serve. What will you do in the presence of the Lord? He wants to purify you. He wants to use you. I just feel such a strong urging in my heart that God is speaking to you, that he's telling you that he wants something different for you. He wants you to serve him in a new way. He doesn't want you to shrink back. He doesn't want you to declare doom. He doesn't want you to feel inadequate. He wants you to trust him and just obey what he asks you to do. Because Isaiah agreed to do this, he was actually given the prophecy about Jesus' birth that was quoted over in the New Testament. He did it in Isaiah 7:14. And do you know that Jesus even quoted what Isaiah shared? You know, when we truly experience God and his love, despite of all of our shortcomings, how could we feel anything else but gratitude and a desire to serve him and to serve with excellence? With God, God wants to connect with us. He wants to change us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to create a new work within us in order to share it with others. And I want you to know that he didn't tell Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets ever, "Oh, get your mouth cleaned up, get your life cleaned up, and then come back to me because then I want to use you." No. He came to him. He said, "This is what I want to show you. I want you to see my glory and to know that it's filling the entire earth. And I pick you." God's picked you today. He loves you just as you are, but he doesn't want to leave you where you are. We need to be grateful, yet never satisfied, and know that where God touches you, he's going to use you to touch others, whether it's through physical things, health things, financial, addiction, loss of love, loss of finances, loss of direction. Whatever he's brought you to and through, he wants to use you to make a difference in the lives of others. Wherever you've had a true encounter with God, it creates a desire within us to serve with excellence. So wherever he's called you today, whatever you've gone through, whatever you're in the middle of, don't shrink back from it. Don't declare doom over it, but volunteer and say, "Send me." I want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you care about every single part of our lives, that you've created us to serve and to worship you. And Lord, we are saying, "Send me." Send me with excellence, Lord. And if there are weeds that need to be weeded out of our lives, Lord, I ask that you would pluck them up by the root, roots of bitterness, roots of frustration, roots of not trusting you. And Lord, thank you that you have given us the ability to serve with excellence. Lord, I ask that you would bring finances to come from the north, the south, the east, the west, in unexpected places. Lord, I ask that you would give peace and wisdom and direction. Lord, you know Bob's got a big decision in his life to make. And Lord, I pray that you would give him every step and that he would not shrink back, not in thought or in deed, but that he would follow your steps exactly. And Lord, you remind us from Deborah's story, Lord, that you work in unexpected ways, in unexpected places, and unconventional methods, and that if we're not willing to step up, like Barack was not willing to step up, you'll find someone else. Lord, we don't want to get to heaven and see that you had even greater things that we could do to serve you, but we shrunk back. Lord, we don't want to declare doom like Isaiah did. We ask forgiveness for filthy lips and filthy minds or hearts. But Lord, I love you, and I know you've got great things for your people. Lord, I pray that you will just help Kim's body to receive the healing that you paid for over 2,000 years ago. Lord, you know what the issues are in his body. We command each cell to function properly in Jesus' name and come back into alignment of perfect health to function exactly how you would have. And Lord, I pray that you would release him from any pain in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing and going out before us. We do glorify you. We give you the glory for all these amazing things, and we thank you for an incredible week. Lord, I pray you'll soothe hearts that are broken, that you'll give a path and direction to those that have maybe said, not now, Lord. Forgive them. Help them to walk in what you have for them now. Thank you for loving us just how we are. And Lord, I thank you for those amazing and wonderful things that you'll do this week. We praise you and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a magnificent week filled with excellence, everybody, and I'll talk again with you next week. Know if you do need prayer, to go over to the Christian Direct Seller or Direct Sales Specialist, and I'll be watching for additional prayer requests there. I'll be praying for you this week. I love you. Bye now, everybody.